Well, good evening. It's good to see everybody. I'm sorry I don't have on a suit coat tonight. I just forgot it when I left home this morning. I apologize. I hope that doesn't offend anybody, but if it does, you might be better off just close your eyes and listen anyway. You know, you've already had the sharp, crisp, energetic young brother, and now you get the beat down. Oh, well, anyway. You get the other honey. So, McNeil was speaking to you about the kingdom of God and essentially that wherever the Lord reigns, we find his kingdom. And, of course, we all want to make an effort to press into the kingdom in a manifest way as well here in the church. But it was the same as he was preaching about that. I felt like it was in line with some of the thoughts that I've had for the last day or so. And it occurs to me, maybe to no one else but me, I know some things that occur to me may seem odd to others, but I hope this will help you. That maybe sometimes the reason that people don't appreciate proper doctrine is we get a little bit confused about how the kingdom of God works. And here's what I mean by that. I was listening to the news on the way to work this morning. You know, they were talking about all the situation going on in Iran and all these different things. And, you know, they would have different commentators come on, and one would say this and one would say this. And many times what they said, as both being, say, American citizens, you know, living in Washington, D.C., the things they said were diametrically opposed to one another, right? I mean, you've seen that. So even though they're all part of, if you will, allow me this phrase, the kingdom of the United States, or the, you know, the country of the United States of America, they disagree about things, right? Now we people sometimes do that in the kingdom of God, I understand. Brothers and sisters, good people might occasionally disagree on something. But we should never make the mistake of thinking that the Holy Trinity of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are ever in any disagreement about anything. You know, a lot of what we hear in modern-day doctrine, when I listen to the radio, I realize that people are confusing that. But, you know, when we understand the doctrine of our eternal salvation, or even, you might say, of our timely salvation, the doctrine of the Lord's Church, don't think of it like your 7 a.m. newscast, okay? Because what God the Father purposed to do, God the Son purposed to do, God the Holy Spirit purposes to do, these three are one. Now, I'll read to you from 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7. And if you have the King James Bible, of course, this verse is in your Bible. If you have some other version, it might not be there. So if you have another version, you just listen to me read it, and then maybe go buy you a King James version tomorrow. Or just let me know, and I'll give you one. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. The Word there referring to God the Son. And this is what Jesus says in Matthew, the 12th chapter, in regards to some accusations that are being made toward him that he is somehow in league with Satan. I don't want to get too far into that, but in Matthew 12:25, Jesus says this, "And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand." And Jesus was saying, look, I'm not in league with Satan. If I was in league with Satan, my kingdom wouldn't stand. And if Satan was in league with me, his kingdom, will crumble and fall. But in an immediate sense, it wouldn't work. You know, Satan's not working with Jesus, and Jesus is not working with Satan. But it's also true in a general sense. The kingdom of God, from the Lord's perspective, is united in purpose. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Right? It's not the 7 a.m. newscast where one is saying, oh, President Trump did everything right, and the next one who lives in the same city and is the same color and the same sex and the citizen of the same country is saying the direct opposite thing, and you're sitting there thinking, who's right? Well, the great thing about God is you don't have to wonder about that. Okay? The Bible teaches us these things. And his kingdom is not divided against itself. And I would suggest to you that we don't want to be divided against his kingdom. Because the Lord says this in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 19. "And again I say unto you that if any two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." You know, reflecting the opposite concept of what we read about in Matthew chapter 12, that a kingdom divided cannot stand, but yet when there is unity, the Lord honors that and the Lord is there. So the example is the Lord is the head of the kingdom and he rules and reigns on his throne. I understand that we have some trouble. I do, no doubt you do, completely understanding the Holy Trinity. But understand that as God is on his throne, he is united in himself in one purpose. There's not a division there. Okay, and what he's telling us here in Matthew 18 is there ought not be division here either in the kingdom of God, that we should agree together in his name. We should worship together in his name, in spirit, and in truth. Okay? So if the Trinity, God the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, if they agree in one, and if we're children of God that are born again, why don't we sometimes, just as a side here, have sort of this internal conflict? Well, McNeil somewhat addressed that already. You know, when I went to work this morning, I'm sorry to use myself as an example. Maybe I should use Brother Chris, but I don't know if he went to work today. So I'll use me. He probably did. He might have been blessed and worked from home or something. He did something today. Anyway, wherever you went today, okay, we could not say, all right, that the spirit of Neil Honey stayed home while the body of Neil Honey and the soul of Neil Honey went to work, right? We went together. Now, I've heard people say before, you know, I went to work, but my heart wasn't in it. I get that as some sort of colloquialism to describe the fact that they didn't want to go to work. But like it or not, that triune being that you are of body, soul, spirit went wherever you went today. Now, when you die, okay, as Manuel pointed out, there's going to be some division there, okay? Your soul, spirit goes to be with the Lord by the grace of God. Your body is laid to rest until the Lord, according to his eternal purpose, unites them again someday in the resurrection. But as I'm walking around on a day-to-day basis, my body, soul, spirit, we're all together. I can't always tell where, my spirit that I trust is cleansed by the Spirit of God. I can't always tell where, you know, my mind in a fleshly sense with the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life is fighting that. You know, there's a conflict to some extent, and I don't always understand exactly where it is. But the Lord knows, okay? So if the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, if they're united in purpose, why is it that sometimes I think people in a doctrinal sense look at that purpose of God and our eternal salvation and put it into some sort of a conflict? You say, what do you mean, Brother Neil? Turn with me to Romans chapter 8 for a few minutes and let's look at that. Because Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, which you're all very familiar with, says this. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So God has a purpose. And in the sense of God's purpose, the things that are under consideration here, they work together. They don't work against one another. You follow me? For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now, we're very familiar with that. But look over with me, if you would, for a moment in Romans chapter 9. In verse 11, referring here to Jacob and Esau. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. For it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now, if you turn on the radio, okay, and you listen to some of the messages from some of the modern day preachers, okay, you're going to hear something that conflicts very much with what we just read there. Okay? Now, I don't rejoice in the fact that there are some people that God did not choose to love. Okay? But also don't get mad about it, because the Lord is the Lord, and He can choose to do what seems good in His eyes. And there have been some days, brothers and sisters, where not only did I not rejoice that there were some people that God didn't love, I just leave that in God's hands. But to be quite honest with you, I wondered if I was one of those people, because I just had such a rotten day. And in me, there was such a conflict between my flesh and my spirit wanting to do what it wanted to do, and the Spirit of God in the sense of a convicting power. And I got to the end of the day and I said, Lord, I've had some wonderful experiences with You, but am I one of Yours? And this might sound crazy, but there have been times I had to get out my phone and turn on one of the sermons that I preached before and try to listen to the Lord bless me one more time so I could be assured, Lord, You blessed me one time, and if You blessed me one time, You were with me, and if You were with me then, You're with me now. Okay? But some folks would say, hey, you know, Jesus went to the cross and died for every single person that's ever lived on the planet, but you can only make it real for you, or you can only make it apply to you if you do this or this or this. But see, that would be a conflict with what we just read. Do you follow me? That'd be like the talking heads on TV or the radio saying, no, it shouldn't have done it. Yep, should have done it. Nope, shouldn't have done it. Yep, they should have done it. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are not like that. When God said, I love this vast multitude of people that no man can number, I believe Jesus said, yes, those are My people, those are My children, those are My adopted brothers and sisters, and I will die for them. Which is why we read in John chapter 17, as He is about to go to the cross, and He says, Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. In other words, Jesus is acknowledging there not just His oneness with the Father, but His oneness and purpose with the Father. God purposed to foreknow and to predestinate a people, and Jesus Christ purposed to die on the cross for that same group of people. There's no disagreement in that. I know you agree with me. But sometimes I get frustrated when I hear the folks on the radio, because they make it out like Jesus just somehow couldn't figure it out, and He wasn't quite big enough or enough. And I'm trying to be respectful here, and I hope this does not sound sacrilegious. I hope you know my heart. They make it sound like Jesus wasn't big enough, or He wasn't God enough to get the job done. You know, that weak me who's in conflict is supposed to be out there somehow making people into children of God. Well, what about God the Holy Spirit? You know, you and I, as I said, until we're dead, you know, this body and this spirit and this soul are together. You know, I'm just one chunk of me falling, you know, walking around stumbling all over myself sometimes. I was looking to see if Amy was laughing, but she was just smiling, so I guess it wasn't as bad as I thought. But you know, the Lord is a little bit different in that way. You know, because again, I don't completely understand it, but Jesus said in John chapter 3, who is he that hath ascended up to heaven but the same that descended, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven? In other words, Jesus is saying, I'm here on earth, but I'm still there, okay? And where's the Spirit of God? And He'll point it out. He's everywhere present. He's nowhere absent. But we see the oneness of that as He cries out on the cross, into Thine hands I commend My spirit. And so we see the Lord enter into that state of death that we'll all face if He doesn't return very soon, as His spirit leaves the body. Okay, and then He's reunited again. He's got some power there that we certainly don't have over ourselves, but is united in a purpose. So when we read that here, we know that all things work together. God the Father is not working against God the Son. It's not like God the Father, and I want to be careful how I say this, chose not to love some, but Jesus just had to love them all anyway. It doesn't work that way. Okay? God is sovereign in that. And I believe when the Lord God predestinated and he foreknew a vast multitude of people that will be conformed to the image of his son. He sent his son to die for them. That is the justification in verse 30. And them he also called. He sends his spirit into their hearts also. Another thing I hear on the radio sometimes is, well, you know, there's this wooing by the Spirit of God that leads you to get to a point where you make a decision and then you become a child of God. But see, that would also be a contradiction. Because now think about it. If God the Holy Spirit is leading someone who's not a child of God and would never love God to try to love God, that's not working together with the purpose of God. And it's also not what the Bible says. And you all know that if you turn back over to Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, we read this. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They don't get to do something to become the sons of God, but they are the sons of God. So if the Holy Spirit is active in the heart of an individual and you see the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit in the heart of that individual, like we heard from the previous speaker, the crisp, well-rested, sharp-looking one. If that person is led by the Spirit of God, you can sort of follow it back. Okay, they're being led by the Spirit of God. They have fruit of the Spirit in their heart. They've made a profession of faith. They've professed Christ. They've sought believers' baptism. They live with love and joy and peace and gentleness and goodness and meekness and faith. You know, we're not out here trying to just judge a bunch of other people out of the kingdom of God because they may not have done some of those things. But when we see all those and we see the Spirit of God active and we see evidence that someone is a born-again child of God, then you can just track that back. That means that's one that Jesus died for. And that means that that is one that was chosen by God the Father before the foundation of the world because there's a unity of purpose. And what God chose to do and what God did not choose to do, okay, are perfectly within the absolute rights of the ruler and reign and the one who reigns and the creator of this universe. In Romans chapter 9, when we read that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, that's not a conflict if we understand the unity of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we shouldn't think that the kingdom of God is like the kingdom of men, kingdoms of men. It's not in an eternal sense or in a heavenly sense, and I hope it wouldn't be in an earthly way either. What are the kingdoms of men doing? Well, a lot of them are fighting one another. Probably right now. Right? There's conflict. There's disagreement. Sometimes it's hard to know politically who's right and who's wrong. I've said that before. But it's even true as you just sort of look around the globe. I mean, you know, there's three sides to every story. As Brother Tim says, there's his side, there's her side, and there's the truth, which is usually somewhere in the middle. And it's rare for someone to come out and just admit that, hey, we're just wrong. We shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry. Please forgive us. You don't see that much in the political arena or the kingdoms of men, do you? I mean, think about what it would be like. We know there's this conflict going on in the Middle East. If the leaders of Iran just suddenly said, hey, you know what? We have been wrong for the last 30 years. We would like to come to New York City or Washington and meet with the President of the United States and Congress and just apologize for all the evil, wicked things we've done. Do you think that's likely to happen? It's not likely to happen. But should that kind of thing happen in the kingdom of God? Absolutely, it should happen in the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God, in an eternal sense, the purpose of God according to election, the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ going to the cross, the purpose of the Holy Spirit in sovereignly giving his children life is a united purpose. And that kingdom is not divided against itself, regardless of what you hear on the radio, okay? If the people here on the radio tell you, well, the Spirit can only go so far, he's a perfect gentleman, He'll woo you. Let me tell you, the Spirit of God is not limited by what you or I think or what some preacher says. When it's time for a person to be born again according to the will of God, the Holy Spirit moves where it lists, where it wants to go, where God sends it to go. And there is nothing on earth or beneath that can have any effect on what God chooses to do in that way. Now, can we ask Him and invite Him and humbly ask that He would come? Sure. But if He gets ready to come, don't try to stop Him. It's not happening. All right? Or if someone says, hey, you know, a person can't be born again, you know, until they do this or until they do this. Okay? That would be putting the kingdom of God in a conflict. If the Lord truly chose before the foundation of the world and He predestinated a group of people to be with Him in heaven, it's this vast group, and God really did that, if we really believe He did that, okay, then we've also got to believe that when Jesus Christ went to the cross, He paid for the sins of that elect group of people, everyone they had, and them alone. And it's not a few, it's many, as we said. And that the Holy Spirit is operating according to the purpose of God. And that all those things work together. So I tell you, I know you're all familiar with those doctrines. What's the practical take home? Because I believe there is a practical application to... Well, there probably is to every doctrine in the Scripture, and I might not know what it is. But certainly to the majority that I see. I said, hey, if the ruler of our kingdom is not divided, if God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are united on our behalf and an eternal purpose, one and in agreement and testifying one and manifest as one, brothers and sisters, I know we're bound by flesh and those things, but you know, our goal ought to be as close to that model as we could be. And when the kingdoms of the world are bombing each other and shooting each other, and sometimes I know that's necessary, the kingdom of God ought to be a place where we do ask forgiveness and where we do manifest love and where we're not fighting. I hope we never are. But if we ever start to stray into that, I hope that the Spirit would lead us in that way. And don't get discouraged by some of those things you hear, doctrinal things from other folks. You know, I wish that every sermon that was preached on the radio or television or something like that was preached from the perspective of the finished work of Christ, the sovereignty of God, the sovereign choice of God the Father, you know, the sovereign work of God the Holy Spirit. But I realized that, you know, the days when that was perhaps understood, you know, doctrines primarily in this country, you know, maybe they're gone. But hey, we can pray that the Lord would open people's eyes to that. Because I'll tell you what, if the Lord said a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand, then those entities that promote that eventually are going to have trouble. And let's just pray that the true kingdom of God, where the word of God is preached, where the sovereignty of God is preached, will be around for folks when they get let down by those things. I know it's been a blessing to me these last, how old are you, Nate? 11? 11 years or so. And I love every one of you. And if I ever offend you, please tell me. Please tell me. I'll be at your feet. I love you. I thank you for your time.